Welcome to Amplified Houston 90.1 FM, KPFT Pacifica Radio in Houston, Texas, 89.5 in Galveston, and 91.9 in Huntsville, and streaming online at kpft.org. Amplified Houston is a collaboration of five nonprofit organizations: Baker Ripley, Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Houston, Children at Risk, the Women's Home, the Houston Food Bank, and Houston's community radio station, KPFT Pacifica Radio. Listeners, all the programs you hear on KPFT are listener-supported. Become a sustaining member by calling 713-526-5738 and pressing option 1. I am your host, Anna Coffey. It is my pride and privilege to serve as the CEO of the Women's Home, and this is Amplified Houston, the Women's Edition, where we talk to women doing hard things. In today's show, we'll speak with Beth Pope, volunteer with Mothers Against Drunk Driving. But first, Amplified Houston is supported in part by The Cottage Shop, a thrift store located at 811 Westheimer in Houston, which is owned and operated by the Women's Home. Proceeds from The Cottage Shop help for programs that help women reclaim their lives. Further information can be found at thewomenshome.org/cottageshop. Beth, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I want to offer a trigger warning for those of you who might be more sensitive listeners. In today's show, we are going to be talking about loss of a child due to drunk driving. So if you are a sensitive listener, or if this just is not your jam today, please feel free to move on and come back and listen to us again next week. So, Beth, let's get started.
Great.
So I want to just disclosure to our listeners. Beth and I have been friends since 1988 when we served in the Peace Corps together in Sierra Leone, West Africa. And, we were always very friendly. We had a big group of people, many of whom we still see today. It was a very formative time in both of our lives. And during that time, Beth met and fell in love with one of our trainers, our language trainers.
Language and cross-cultural coordinator.
Oh, sorry.
Let's get language that cross-cultural thing pretty well.
And has ended up now, of course, they've been married, I don't know, 33 something years and going strong. So Beth, I'm so glad to have you here. You are, one of my personal heroes. You have navigated your loss with such grace and dignity. And so I'm really, really honored that you're choosing to share your story with us today. So before we talk about all the hard stuff, let's talk about the lovely, lovely and warm and beautiful spirit that was Rashid. Tell us about Rashid.
Okay. Well, thank you. And thanks for having me. Rashid was my husband, Suarez's nephew. And his mom was my husband's baby sister, 19 years younger. And she passed away when she was only in her early 20s. She left behind a two-year-old, and that was Rashid. About a week after she passed away and the shock, kind of wore off, we had a five-year-old at home. He was an only child. Mm-hmm. And we just looked at each other and said, we have to adopt him. There's no question. So he came to live with us, and we adopted him when he was three. Took about a year. He was always a really happy kid, very happy-go-lucky. He was kind. He made friends quickly, always very easy to make friends. His smile just lit up any room he entered. He had compassion. He was a full-time college student at Ivy Tech Community College here in Indianapolis, and he was on track to graduate with his associate's degree in December of 2022. And he wanted to go on and study nursing. He had worked as a CNA, and he was just He loved helping. He just loved being in those helping professions. He was just loved by his family and friends. I always say he was the heart of our family because he had so much social capital built up everywhere in our neighborhood, everywhere he went. I mean, he was just amazing. And
Well, he had a smile that could light up a room.
absolutely just radiated positivity. So that was Rashid.
That was Rashid. Okay. Beautiful spirit. When his friends and family just talked about him in this way where, if you needed help with anything, he was always there, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And
Absolutely.
he was working at a nursing home, is that right?
Well, when he died, he was working at IU North Hospital. And he had been working in a nursing home during the pandemic. So when they had COVID patients start, because that was the front lines during COVID, was our assisted living and nursing homes. And I remember they called the staff together when they got their first COVID patient, or one of their patients got COVID, and they asked for volunteers to take care of the patients who had COVID, and he was the first one to raise his hand.
So brave. Oh my goodness. 'Cause back in those days, we didn't know what we were dealing with.
No,
He
but
had no
he was
idea.
20 years old and healthy. And when he died, he'd actually been working at IU North Hospital in the dietary department, delivering meals to patients at the hospital, and just
Yeah,
putting
I
a
can see him
smile
doing
in
that.
everyone's face when he walked in their room.
Oh, that smile. All right. Okay, so he was an exceptional young man, had so much to give to this world. Tell us what happened. Tell us about that night.
Well, that morning was really when I knew. It was about 4 a.m. It was a phone call from Methodist Hospital in Indianapolis. And they had actually called Soares' phone first, and he hadn't picked up. And he thought it was a wrong number or a client calling him or something, and he had ignored it. And then my phone
Soiree,
started
sorry,
ringing.
listener, Soiree is that's husband.
Yes. And so my phone started ringing, so I picked it up, and it was about 4 a.m. And the person on the other side asked me if I was the mother of Rashid and Nelson Conte. And now I'm wide awake. And I stood up, and I said yes. And they told me that they had been in a car crash, and that Nelson was able to be released from the hospital. He was in the emergency room, but the Rashid had not made it. I just remember screaming no and like falling to the ground. And then I made her repeat it several times because I was like, I surely didn't hear this right. Right? It just this isn't happening. She repeated it several times, and then I remember getting off the phone and then looking over at Soiree. He's like, what? And so then I had to tell him. And then he's like immobilized. He's just like paralyzed. He can't move. And all I'm thinking then is like, I now only have one son, and he needs me. He's at the hospital. He can be released. I've got to get to him. And so go in the bathroom, splash water on my face, pull on a pair of jeans and a sweatshirt, grab my phone, and head out the door. So that's how I knew where I was going. I called my best friend just to have somebody to talk to on Bluetooth on the way to the hospital, and she convinced me to stop by and get her, do a little detour and get her on the way. She not only was a friend since college, she'd also been Rashid's fifth grade teacher.
Oh,
So, and we'd been friends. It's like she was a second mother to him. So I picked her up, and I'm so glad I did, because then she drove my car to our house after we picked up Nelson, and I held him in the back seat. So it was that's what we didn't really know exactly what had happened at that time, but that's all I knew.
And so what actually happened was Rashid and his brother Nelson had gone to a concert
Right.
and did the responsible thing, took a ride share
Yes.
to get there. They knew they were going to have a couple of drinks, and so they excuse me made sure that they were safe.
Right.
And on the way home, then a car with a driver who had not made safe choices T-boned their rideshare and ended up in a very, very serious and then fatal car crash.
That's right.
Rashid was alive until he got in the ambulance, right? And died somewhere either on the way to the hospital or shortly after he got there.
Yeah, they said it was like within 45 minutes of being picked up. So he probably did get to the hospital, but then just didn't make it. I know, Nelson was trying to explain that morning, and as it came out, we learned more about what had happened. But they had three of them in the back seat. Nelson, Rashid, and a friend were in the back seat of the ride share. And when it was hit, all of them were injured. Rashid the most seriously. Nelson pulled him from the wreck, and then their other friend broke three vertebrae in his neck. The rideshare driver broke his leg. I mean, it was just a very, very serious crash. And that's one thing. And you mentioned that I volunteer with Mothers Against Drunk Driving. And one thing that I've learned is some of the language around these incidents. And I don't use the term accident typically because it's not an accident when somebody decides to get behind a wheel and drive after they've been drinking.
Okay,
So
what is the
we
correct
say it's a
word?
crash. It's
It's
a
a
car
crash.
crash. It's
Okay.
not a car accident,
Okay.
because an accident is where, a child runs out in front of a car, and is struck. That's an accident. It's an accident is something that can't be avoided. That's just inadvertent, but that's a decision somebody makes to get
It's a
behind the
decision.
wheel.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for helping us with that language, Beth. How in the world did you keep going?
That first week is just a blur. You don't even remember because you're doing things that no parent should ever have to do, right? You're
100%.
planning a funeral, you're writing an obituary, you're just getting through hour by hour, minute by minute, because you just have to. But then, you after that initial shock, it really sinks in and you have to figure out ways to cope. So you try various, I tried various things. I know some things helped more than others. Support groups have really been helpful. Mothers Against Drunk Driving, they actually reached out to me. I don't know how they got my phone number, but they did. And they have support groups as well. And so being talking with other people who have experienced similar things is it's helpful in the way that you're not alone. So that's something that that did help. Grief share at my church, I went through that a couple of times. It's just you try everything you can, reaching out to friends and family when they reach out to you, talking and having a pet has helped as well, getting up in those first days. I remember I wouldn't have gotten out of bed if it not been for my little dog wanting to go outside and go on a walk. I would have just stayed there. So, that's really, really, and they're so empathetic. So it's really helpful as well.
We are going to take a quick break
Mm-hmm.
to talk about how this show is coming to you. KPFT takes no advertising dollars at all, and almost every one of the people who work to bring you the show are volunteers. Please call 713-526-5738 and press option one to become a sustaining member today. We are back with Beth Conte, who is a volunteer for Mothers Against Drunk Driving. She is sharing with us a deeply personal and moving story of how she lost her dear son, Rashid, because of a drunk driver. And so, Beth, you and I have talked about this before. There's a lot of people who want to reach out to a friend who is suffering from a loss like this, but they don't know how or what to say. And so sometimes they just don't, which I think is like the worst, because it even if you are ham-fisted and don't deal with it all that well, reaching out is still better than not reaching out. But for those people who like can't find the words at the time, what would you say to them about what the best way is to approach a person who's in tremendous grief after a loss like this?
Yeah, and every person's going to be, you know, different. But I would say definitely reach out. And sometimes the best thing to say is, I don't have the words. I just don't. I don't know how to comfort you, or I just don't have the words. Mm-hmm. And just say, but I'm here. And you know, that resonates with someone, yeah, because they hear all these cliches and they don't want to hear the cliches, you know. No. They don't want to hear they're in a better place or God needed another angel or, you know, any of that. You don't want to hear that.
No.
What I needed the most was just to be able to talk about Rashid.
Mm-hmm.
And most people who reached out didn't want to go there. Mm-hmm. Because, and I realized later, it wasn't just they were afraid because they were grieving, mm-hmm, how they might not be able to handle their own emotions around,
right,
that topic.
Right.
And so they didn't want to cry in front of me and make me cry. But, you know, you're going to cry.
You're going to cry.
And you know, I think we all have to be a little bit more comfortable with tears.
Yeah. Okay. Oh.
That is 100%.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, it is okay to cry.
Yes.
And it is okay to be beside somebody who is crying.
And cry together. I mean,
cry together.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. I tell people, like, tears contain salt. Salt heals wounds.
Yes.
Those tears are there for a reason.
Absolutely.
Let them go. Let them come, because, you know, I remember when I've gone through hard things, I've never gone through something as hard as what you've gone through, but I've gone through some hard things myself. And I remember somebody telling me it was okay to cry. And I'm like, but what if I never stop? But you do stop eventually,
yeah.
Right? I mean, and then they come again, and, yep, and that's okay. They're there for a reason. So yeah, thank you for.
It'll always come in waves. You know, grief doesn't just, you can't just turn it on and off. It's going to come in waves. It's going to come back, you know, my whole life. It's going to be there with me.
It's, you're forever changed.
Absolutely.
You're forever changed. And I would say that's true for even the people around you. You know, when this happened to you, our group of friends came together and we were forever changed witnessing what was happening to you. So it's profound. The loss is profound. And you know, there's nothing you can do but go through it.
Yeah.
That's all you can do.
And you guys were so awesome. I mean, picking up from all places in the US and merging in Indianapolis and being there for the funeral. I mean, that's so huge when you have people that are that good of friends that they just pick up and they're there for you. Even if you, and it's okay that you don't know what to say. That's okay. Nobody knows what to say.
Nobody knows what to say.
I would say, you know, if anything, just ask the person what they need.
Yeah.
What they want, what they need, and people who are grieving, being able to communicate that to other people. When people ask you what you need, be prepared to give them an answer. Maybe it's you need somebody to cut your grass. Maybe it's some, the maybe the loved one you lost was the one who did that. I mean, it can be things that aren't like, sitting beside them as they cry. They need their needs are diverse.
That's a great point. That's a great point. It doesn't always look the same from person to person.
Absolutely.
Well, and I think that showing up really does make a difference. Like, even if you don't know what to say, like just bring their favorite candy bar, or like take them out to a movie or something. Like, just show up. Don't
Show up.
be afraid to just show up.
And if you're in a distance, like you were in Houston and I was in Indianapolis, and I'll never forget the care package that you sent in those early days. And it was just like a Instacart, I think, and just got delivered, and it had soup and it had Tylenol PM, which is something I didn't realize I needed until I got it. Because you go through several nights of an hour or two at the most of sleep, and you need sleep. So then you don't know, is it the fog in my brain because of the grief, or is it because of the lack of sleep, or is it a combination of everything? And so sometimes, if you're not right there close by, doing something like that is really impactful.
Well, of
And
course, I'm
any of
Italian,
us
and
can do
our
that.
well, but I'm Italian, so the default is like throw food at the problem because there's a lot of things that food can help, right? So I just default to what's in my nature. So Beth, as you have walked through your grief, you have done it with an incredible amount of grace and intentionality. What, tell me how you even found that path and what you did to keep going on that path, or what helped you with that path?
Well, in the very early days, after Rashid was killed, we formed a nonprofit in his name, so the Rashid S. Conte Memorial Foundation. And I just knew that I would need something positive to work on, because I had decided at that point, weeks after his death, that I was going to retire and retire fairly early. I was only 56. But I had just become eligible, so with the federal government, and so I did that. But we created the nonprofit, so that was one thing, and it's helping with healthcare initiatives in Sierra Leone, his birth country, my husband's country of origin. So that has been positive. Also, getting involved with Mothers Against Drunk Driving. So that other people hopefully don't go through the same loss that we did. So anything I can do to remember him in a positive way and to help others prevent, if at all possible, but also be there for them, in that time of their deepest despair and loss, that's what you want to do. Because otherwise, you just get so caught up in your own grief and anger that, it could just tear you up. And so having some positive outlets has been really important to me. And then Rashid was just so positive. I mean, he made friends so quickly. He just was so positive. And it's like, I need to, on just a personal level, be better at staying in touch with people, at staying in touch with friends and family, and communicating. And I've tried to intentionally do that as well, because that's how Rashid lived. So I just honor him in all of those ways.
Completely. And so each one of those coping mechanisms that you're talking about really are all about building community around you, right? And leaning on the strength of others, and then being the one that can be leaned on, in certain situations. So, yeah, it's Definitely life-changing. And as I've stood from the sidelines and watched you walk through this journey of grief and loss, I've really just admired the way you've really built community around you, and you haven't shied away from it. You've thrown yourself into important causes and things that really do make a difference in our world. We only have a couple of minutes left, Beth. I want to first thank you for being willing to come on and trust me with your story. I admire you in so many ways. I wonder if you have a story or a memory of Rashid that you'd like to close us out with today.
Well, there's so many memories and stories that I could choose that I know when we were talking about a week ago, I thought of whenever I picked him up from work, he had, some issues with driving and had a couple accidents, so was without a car for a long time. And not for substance, issues, but just in general. And I would pick him up from work at the hospital, and every time I picked him up and he got in the car, he would tell me it was another great day. And he would tell me a story about what happened. Either he put a smile on a patient's face, or he had an interaction with a nurse on one of the floors as he was making, food deliveries. And he just had such an impact. But to get in the car every single day and just say it was another great day, and to try and live that, and to try and, carry that in me in some way at the end of the day, be able to say it was a great day for whatever, not everything is going to be great. But I think a lot of it is just what we present, how we present ourselves, and the positivity that we can get out of every interaction. And that's who he was.
That is just such a beautiful way for us to close out, listeners. Beth and I and Rashid are all wishing you a great day. I want to thank profusely my guest and dear friend, Beth, for coming on the show today, and sharing so bravely, your story. I know that there's a lot of people out there who were very inspired today. So thank you, Beth. Amplify Houston is supported in part by The Cottage Shop, a thrift store located at 811 Westheimer. Proceeds from The Cottage Shop help women reclaim their lives. Further information can be found at thewomenshome.org/cottageshop. Be sure to stay tuned to for Gulf Streams with Weston Twardowski for the latest environmental and climate news in the Gulf Coast region and beyond. Beth, thank you so much. KPFT, thank you so much. This is Anna Coffey, Amplified Women, the Amplified Houston, the Women's Edition, over and out.
Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
Find free and supportive adult.